Let me ask you a question. Will you be honest with me this morning? Have you ever wanted something so bad, was able to get it, and then in a period of time, it just didn't mean a whole lot to you? Don't say your spouse. Someone will do that to be funny. Let me see your hand. Oh, yeah, maybe. Somebody tell me what it was. Will you tell me? Tim. Okay, someone else. What was it? Oh, yeah, now your hands are down. Nobody? Can I use the experience, Jonathan, of your red Ram truck? I never ask you. Jonathan wanted a red Ram truck so bad. Now, he wasn't married. He was living out, but he wasn't married, didn't have a lot of financial issues. He got one. And it was wonderful until he drove it to Marshfield every single day. And then it was in the wintertime. And you know, diesels kind of, they'll freeze up in the wintertime. So it got so it was not pleasant at all. Let me ask you something. Why is that? Well, sometimes it's because it's an unmet expectation, okay? Sometimes it just kind of grows old to us, okay? Can that happen? Can your salvation grow old to you? The answer is yes. We are so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single week we talk about the cross and we talk about His salvation. We talk about forgiveness. And if we're not careful, we will lose that godly awe that it takes. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Most of you learned this when you were kids. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You cannot even begin to go to wisdom without the fear of the Lord. Now, the Living Bible, I like the way it says it. For the reverence and fear of God are basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every kind of understanding. You won't go to God for understanding unless you understand that He is holy and righteous. He knows it all. But this could also read, seeing the awe or the awesomeness of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Identifying that, seeing how precious it is just the beginning of wisdom. See, godly fear or awe is deep reverence and respect for God that involves acknowledging His power, His majesty, and His goodness. Keeping those in the forefront of our mind. The result is a desire to be intimate with Him, obey Him, and honor Him. That should be the desire. It is distinct from ungodly or worldly fear, which is based on anxiety or alarm. Godly fear or awe can be our source of peace and courage and assurance. Why? Because we're focusing on one that is all-powerful and all-present and all-knowing. It allows us to recognize our dependence on God. And folks, as He blesses our lives, as He has everyone here, it's very easy to let that dependence slide. And we understand that we are forgiven. I do not believe that as a born-again child of God, a true born-again child of God, that you can lose that, but you can sure walk away a little bit from the altar, can't you? Can you imagine what Adam and Eve was like when they woke up? How did I get here? Who am I? What is this? Where did I come from? You can hear God say, me. How did all this, the cosmos, happen? Me. How am I supposed to live in this? Me. And that would be the same question that you should ask today. How am I supposed to live today? And his response would be the same. Me. Just experiencing creation at the start. Intimately knowing the one who did it. If they needed to know something, what do? They pick up and Google something? No. They went to the one who created it all. The one who knew what the answer was. Somewhere along life, I believe, that their life became tiring. Same old, unchanging, routine, predictable, and maybe boring. Doing the same thing over and over. No challenges. I mean, there was no sin, there was no sickness, there weren't weeds in their garden, there weren't flies coming at them all the time. And at some point, I believe they began to lose the awe of their Heavenly Father. And He walked with them in the cool of the evening. And that allowed them to start listening to another voice that questioned their Creator. And folks, that voice sounded exciting. It sounded new. It sounded profitable. I can be like God. No, God, I'm not going to be you. I understand that. But I can be like you. I mean, it was exciting. The same thing that can happen to a life of a Christian. This over here. Nothing wrong with this experience over here unless it takes you away from the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can hear Him say, it's exciting though. It's new. Profitable. I believe they lost their sense of awe for the Creator and ended up rebelling against His knowledge and loving commands. I wonder if Christians in America today are losing the awe of God. How do we know? How would I know that? As I see sin coming into the church and being accepted. Not the sinner. The sinner can come in and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, man, all the time. But sin is coming in and being acknowledged as normal. I wonder if we are taking God for granted. We've lost the awe of this all-powerful, all-righteous, all-knowing God, and we have become like Adam and Eve. We want to be like Him. We focus almost exclusively, if you listen to contemporary Christian, the love of God, the power of God, the presence of God, but very few that focuses on the awe of God, just who He is. Reverential fear is the foundation of all of God's characteristics. They set on that. We honor God because there's this reverential fear that we have for Him. We know He's awesome. And we want to keep Him awesome in our lives. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalms 33 as David's going to address this a little bit. I'm going to be reading out of the Living Bible this morning. Let all the joys of the godly well up in praise to the Lord, for it is right to praise Him. Play joyous melodies of praise upon the lyre and the harp. Compose new songs of praise to Him, accompanied skillfully on the harp. Sing joyfully. For all God's words are, what's that word? What's that word? Right. All God's words are right. And everything He does is worthy of our trust. He loves whatever is just and good. The earth is filled with His tender love. He merely spoke and the heavens were formed, and all the galaxies of stars. He made the oceans, pouring them into His vast reservoirs. Let everyone in all the world, men and women and children, fear the Lord and stand in awe of Him. For when He spoke, the world began. It appeared at His command. And with a breath He can scatter the plans of all the nations who oppose Him. But His own plans stands forever. His intentions are the same for every generation. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You. That Lord, You love us tremendously. And I'm going to thank You that You never give up on us. You are always drawing us to Yourselves. Lord, we're finite. Our lives are brief. And there are times we get off base. We get our attention on something else that it's nothing wrong with, but it's taken your place. And we find that we have lost the awe of you, the reverential fear of who you are. And we find ourselves slipping further and further away. I pray this morning that you help us identify that. That, Father, we will recognize that trait within us and repent of that and turn back to you. And I give you the glory. Open up your word now, and may it touch the hearts of those as you would have in your name. Amen. One of the saddest verses in Scripture is Judges chapter 2, 10 through 12. God had proven himself awesome to the nation of Israel, didn't he? In Egypt, I mean, he just time and time again, and in the wilderness, time and time again, he proved himself awesome to them. They go into the promised land. He's told them to make sure that you root out all the people there. Don't take their religion. Root them out. Make this God's nation. But they got busy. Verse 10, after the whole generation, this would be the generation that had seen the miracles, come into the promised land, established their territories. After that whole generation had gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. One generation, guys. One generation. What happened? How could that happen? I'm sure they taught all the stories of what God had done, how they had told how they come out of Egypt and how he parted the Red Sea and then he parted the Jordan and all of that. I'm sure they told them the stories. I'm sure they taught them the law, because they would not have had it if not. They taught them the Word of God. And I wonder if the children witnessed the awe of the Lord fading in the lives of the generation before. They got busy. They had homes to build. They had crops to produce. They got busy. Doing good things. But I think they lost the awe of God. And it didn't stop with them. It went to their children. When you lose your awe of the Lord, then life becomes all about you. It's easy. That's how yours. Some, when they went and took their territory, did not obey God's commands. They did not drive the people out. They just enslaved them. We got it taken care of. We're going to enslave them. They're not going to have any influence. We're okay. Some decided to be friends with them and just snuggle up close to them. No one has invaded us yet. Crops keep coming up, just as God said. There's been no severe weather issues. It appears that God doesn't really care if we do this or not. Do we hear this today? We say some sin is normative. Well, God doesn't care about that. He doesn't care if I come to church. He doesn't care if I pray. He doesn't care. I am good. He has blessed me tremendously. So God must not care. Easy to do, guys. Easy to do. Let's let this Psalms that we read teach us some things about refreshing the awe of the Lord. First thing I want you to say, look for all the joys of the godly. As a born-again child of God, God brings joys into our lives that can easily be put on the top shelf and not looked at again. If you got a Bible in your home that's old, it's got generations in it, no one reads it. But it's there. I got a Bible on the end table. Let all the joys of the godly well up in praise. What joys does God bring to your relationship that are unattached to your circumstances? Okay? They're not attached to your circumstances. There's a joy of salvation. We have that. Folks, it becomes second nature to us. And we don't identify how truly marvelous and miraculous that salvation is. It is not in the forefront of our minds. It has nothing to do with your circumstances. There's the joy of His constant pressure, the Spirit of God living within us. Doesn't your circumstances don't matter. He brings that to you. There's the joy and the promise of eternal life. Folks, we are set here, and we walk our lives like this so often, looking down. When God says, look up, there's something coming you cannot even imagine. And that's what you're living for. Put your mind up in the heavenlies. There's the joy of promised deliverance. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And we put a period right there. There's not a period there. But the Lord delivers them from them all. The promise of deliverance. There's the joy of family. So often we look at the church as something we just kind of go to. It is family. One is intimately, we are covenanted together as born again children of God. We are intimate, and we pray for one another, and we're there for one another. God brings that. I need you to do a spiritual scavenger hunt. That's what I'm saying. Do a spiritual scavenger hunt on your life. What has God brought to you that has nothing to do with your circumstances? Can we not praise God for that? Can we not lift those up and look at those and go, man, that's just awesome, God. You are an awesome God to bring salvation. You're an awesome God because you don't reject me. There's a continual presence. And there's eternal life coming. What's it mean, Randy? I don't know, but I'm going to be where Jesus is at, and that's all I care about. Everything else, don't care. Do a spiritual scavenger. But Randy, I've got cancer. I know. Difficult. Has nothing to do with this list. Well, the promise of deliverance. It's going to happen. Either He will heal you here, or He will give you a brand new body there. Do a spiritual scavenger hunt. He says, let all the joys of the godly well up. As a child, did you ever try to stop a stream from flowing? You take those rocks as a boy, and we'd stack them up, and we'd try, and it just kind of backs up, and it wells up, and it gets bigger and greater. That's what he's talking about. To gradually or steadily flow upwards or outwards so as to begin to fill and overflow something. Folks, how do you overflow your hurt? How do you overflow your fears and anxieties? How do you overflow the cares of this world? That is looking at the godly joys and letting them well up within you. Bringing that we see the awe of God in that. Let those godly joys well up. And take the place of your worries, your cares, your impending decisions. Let them well up within you. Let the Spirit of God bring them to your memory. For it is right for you to praise Him. It's right for you to do that. God says that. As a born-again child of God, it is right and proper and prosperous for you to praise Him. But I don't feel like it, Randy. I understand that. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't look like God is doing anything. I understand that. That doesn't matter. Does not control the things that He brings. The hurt is too deep. I understand that too. But I want you to understand, the things, the godly joys that God brings can overwhelm the deepest hurt that anything can happen here. Will I forget it? No. Will it always control my thinking? Doesn't have to. As you focus on the awe of God rather than the event. Sing joyfully. How do we do this? We sing joyfully. That is full of emotion, anticipated hope, confidence in your Heavenly Father, letting your tears flow without embarrassment. We have people who do not want to come to the altar because it looks like I've got issues. We all got issues. Don't let pride stop you. from singing joyfully, letting your emotions show, anticipating the hope that God's going to bring, confidence in your Heavenly Father. Let them show without embarrassment. Listen to the joyful singing around you. You will see me at times stop singing on Sunday mornings, and I just listen. So does Jerry. Because it brings such joy to hear your voices, to see you raise your hand, to stand, do however you do that, the tears coming down. Listen to those around you. Look for all the joys of the godly. Second thing is stay tightly attached to God's word, knowing everything he says, does, or allows is worthy of our trust. Not everything that's going to happen to you is good. We live in a sinful, fallen world. And God has never promised us that pain will not come, or hurt will not come, or decisions that are seem impossible to make. He never promises us that, but he promises us his presence through it. And he is worthy of our trust, whatever that is. Randy, I have cancer. Trust him. Randy, I've got, boy, if you knew what it's like when I grew up, I've got these scars. Trust him with your scars. Trust him with your future. I've got it all planned out. Isn't that great? Yeah, I'm going to be watching you because it never goes as your plan. Trust whatever is going on to him. For all God's words are right. That word right means proper and good and true. Everything he does or allows is worthy of our trust. Difficult. I understand that. Be in awe of the Word of God because it is always right and worthy of our respect and trust. Don't just read it. Don't just study it. Walk it. Walk it. God, I just don't feel like this today. Walk it. Respect the power and the awe of God to work in your daily lives. Be in awe of God's tender love for you. That amazes me. It amazes me that God would love me because I know me. I know the scars and stuff behind. I understand that. He loves. The earth is filled with his tender love. Tender love. He showed you that love in the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. You can never tell me that God does not love you. Why? Because Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why I was still separated from him, Christ died for us. Why I was still rebellious towards God, Christ died for us. Why I couldn't care a spit for God, he died for me. And then gently led me on the road to where I understood and could accept. If God loved us like this before salvation, how much more after we are presentable to him? After he's forgiven us of our sins, cleanses us of all unrighteousness, as he's filled us with the Holy Spirit and be presented to him, how much more will his love encompass us? Regardless of your circumstances, be filled with the awe of God's love for you. You. Be in awe of the Holy Spirit, the power of creation living inside you. It's amazing. As a born-again child of God, he gives us the Spirit as a down payment, if you will, guaranteeing everything else to come to pass. And that Spirit rests within us, and its purpose is to lead us to all truth. He will lead you to the awe of God. He will lead you to the strength that you need. He will lead you so often to the altar and through tears and the bound knee that you may find your strength and your purpose. God, the Spirit lives in us. Folks, that's just pure awesome. I can't hardly understand that. Why would he do that? Because if he just saved me, he'd have to be saving me tomorrow and save me the next day and save me the next day, because there's nothing I can do to hold it. But he keeps me. 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord to instruct him? No one. But we, as born-again children of God, have the mind of Christ resting within us. Be in awe of God's creation. Lots of stuff about God we can be awesome about, can't we? Lots of stuff. Be in awe of God's creation. Don't let science take it away from you. Don't do it. You don't have to explain the Big Bang. They can't explain the Big Bang. You don't have to do that. Notice, don't let any other man-made design strip you of the awe of God speaking into existence the heaven and the earth. He commanded it, and they were there. We have allowed society to strip away the awesomeness of God. And you're allowing it to be stripped away from you because you don't think you have the answer. You have the answer. God created it. He created the heavens and the earth. And then he allows us to live here. Be in awe of God's power, authority, and creativeness. Creative. Who would have thought that he would have sent his son to die for our sins? That's not something we would do. Don't think that your circumstances are beyond what God can control, because he is very creative in some things he allows in our lives. Number three, I want you to settle yourself frequently in the awe of the Lord's authority and power. We in this country do not have a king. We do not have an emperor. We do not have a dictator. And as a result, we don't know what royal obedience is. And we have determined that we are our own power. And we are our own authority. And God says, no, I did not give that to you. I am the one who's in authority. Verse 8, let everyone in all the world, men and women and children, fear the Lord, reverent fear, and stand in awe of him. That word awe is just open mouth. I can't grasp what is going on here, but man, is it fantastic. I can't grasp it. Why should we be in awe of him? For he spoke, the world began, it appeared at his command, and with a breath, look at this. Does it look like God is not in control? With a breath, he can scatter the plans of all the nations who oppose him. But his plans, look at this, his plans stands forever. And it does not matter what nation has the power. It does not matter who's got the atomic bomb. It does not matter who has the most social cliques. God's power. His intentions are the same for every generation. It will not change. Psalms 2 verse 1 through 6. What fools the nations are to rage against the Lord. What fools they are. How strange that men should try to outwit God. For a summit conference of the nation has been called to plot against the Lord and his Messiah, Christ the King. Come, let us break his chains, they say, and free yourselves from all of slavery to God. But God in heaven sits on his throne and wrings his hands and says, "Oh, I didn't prepare for that." Now he laughs. He laughs. You see what they're, Jesus, do you see what they're doing down there? They think they're something. They do. They've got themselves convinced that they are something. He is amused by all their puny plans. And then a fiery furnace, he rebukes them and fills them with fear. For the Lord declares, speaking of Jesus, this is the King of my choice. And I have enthroned him in Jerusalem, my holy city. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Doesn't matter what else everybody says. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. God's own plans, desires, and will stand forever. You do not have to fear getting up to heaven and giving an account for your life and wonder if the rules have changed. It's not going to happen. Salvation is through Lord Jesus Christ. It is through faith by the grace and mercy of God Almighty. It will not change. We will stand accepted before God Almighty because of God's word that says He's going to do it. He has cleansed us from our sins. He has made us acceptable before God Almighty. Folks, that is awesome. I do not have to fear death. Didn't mean to want to go. Not bought my ticket yet. But I don't have to fear it. Because God has promised that He will present me faultless with great joy. That is awesome. That is marvelous. How do we know? Because the word appeared at His command. There is no one that's going to strip that from Him. No power that will overcome Him. Paul says, what can separate me from God? Can angels, demons, hardships, anything created separate me from God's love? And he finally had to shake his head and go, nothing can separate me from God's love. Cancer can't do it. Addiction can't do it. Divorce can't do it. Scars can't do it. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Yes, Randy, but Satan has ruined God's plans. It started way back in the garden. It was perfect. And Satan ruined it. Revelation 13:4. But the Lamb was slain from the creation of the world. Folks, God had that planned. He knew it was going to happen, and He already had a plan in place. The Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. When you see an obstacle, God sees an opportunity. Look what I can do. We would not know what forgiveness really is without God's forgiveness. We would not know what true love is without God's love. His intentions are the same for every generation. I can raise our children, our grandchildren, with the truth of God's word, knowing that it's going to be the same for them. God's intentions will never change from one generation to the next. God's truth is perfect, no matter the calendar date, the circumstances of life, or the depth of your sin. It is true. Be in awe of the consistency of God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11, talks about the hardships. And he didn't write this to show that, look at me, look what I've endured. But there were some out there at that time preaching a false doctrine, and they were saying, look how much we've suffered, okay? So Paul wants, I want to set the record straight, is what he's saying. I've been imprisoned with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes plus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in the danger of the rivers, and dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren. Folks, it wouldn't take very many dangers before I would say, I'm done. But he goes on. How? How can anyone experience this and not say, God doesn't love me? How can anyone experience this and say, God, I think the next beating belongs to someone else? What kept the Apostle Paul going forward? It was an awesome God who found him on a Damascus road coming to arrest Christians and saved him. It was an awesome God who allowed him to see and experience the wonders of God's power and authority. It was an awesome God that promised to present Paul faultless with great joy. Just like Paul, we can find countless joys in our journeys, walking with God daily, so we don't lose the awesomeness of God. Let's pray. Father, too often, our salvation is something that we just kind of accept. We know it. We put it on a shelf. We don't appreciate it. We don't grow it. We don't love it. And our walk with God means little to us until that's all we've got. And Lord, we need to learn how awesome God is today, so we will be ready tomorrow. And Lord, I know Satan's going to come and try to strip this away. It doesn't have to be that way. I have decided that I'm going to view my God as awesome. And I'm going to place myself and seek His face daily. And when He wills to take care of some circumstances, I will praise Him for that. But if He doesn't, He is still awesome to me. And I will teach them to my children. And I will teach them to my grandchildren and the children of church, so that they can grow up and know this awesome God as we do. Now, Lord, these are your altars. We can ignore them. We can say we don't have to go down there. We can do it in our pew. All true. But God may be willing you to come down, kneel before Him, accept His salvation, accept His forgiveness, or accept your repentance. God, I've not looked at you as awesome in so long. And I long to have that joy of the Lord living within me. And I come today asking you for that. Father, you have given mankind the ability and the right to choose. You've told us time and time again to choose carefully. Eternity's a long time. And this life does not have to be lived in the hurt and the pain and the agony. It can be lived in the joy that comes from God. So, Father, open up your altars. Open up our hearts. Give us the guts to just do what you're calling us to do. May we be the man and the woman of God, just as you're calling us to do. And I thank you for what you will do. For your glory alone, amen.